pan outside your window or something. So Luke chapter 5, let's all stand as you're turning. Luke chapter number 5, I want to read a few verses together. Luke chapter number 5, we'll read 1 through 11 responsively. Then we'll get into the word here. Luke chapter number 5, stand with me. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. That's your part to read. Verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Please bow with me as we pray. Father, bless the service tonight. Bless my preaching. Speak through me. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You could be seated. Matthew 4 gives the same account. I'll read it real quick right there. Matthew 4:19, and he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. Verse 22, immediately, here we have the sons of Zebedee, immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Mark chapter 1, verse 18, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. I've been going to this church now a good 20 plus years. 2004 about, we came to this church, and here's why we came to this church. We used to go to a church called Dunmore Open Bible Church. It's not open. I don't know when this last time it was open. Our pastor died. The pastor's wife, she would get up and she'd try to talk and just keep the church alive. Eventually, it just fizzled out to nobody. There was a handful of people left. And the one fella said to my dad, he said, Wherever you go, do not go to Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And my dad said, okay, we're going to Scranton Revival Baptist Church then. And he brought us kids, we came here to the church. I had no idea what Baptist meant. I thought Baptist was a new religion. I thought we were Christians, now we're Baptists, we're just starting a whole new thing. And I was kind of upset about it. We would come here and we'd sit right back there before the sound booth lived there. We sat in the benches back there. Sometimes we'd sit over there. Sometimes we'd sit over there. Once in a while, we'd sit over there, but we were never in the front row. We sat as far from it as possible, and my dad had a thing. If he disagreed with something, we never went back. One little thing. If he decided he didn't like what was said, he'd just look at me and he'd go, and we'd never go to a church again. Well, this is 2004, so a long time ago, we came to this church, my father and my sisters and I, and that is my history with this church. I grew up here a little bit. Bobby Hiller and I became good friends here. We would run around the church like idiots together. And now when he comes to town, we still run around the church like idiots together. And we're just kind of older and fatter now. And we can't do the things we used to do, but we think we can. And then we find out that in your 30s, your back hurts trying to do the same stuff. I remember going to a Columbus Day event that was up in Connecticut, and we drove up there, and I had no idea Bobby was going to be there. we were bringing our teens, he was bringing his teens, and we kind of met there and said, man, I had no idea you were here. Well, they had a zip line. And in my head, I thought, oh, a zip line. But inside of this body, I still think I'm 180 pounds. That was 100 plus pounds ago. And he gets on the zip line, and he goes down, and he's in a little bit of shape because he's a wuss. And so then it was my turn, and I got on the zip line, and I went down the zip line, and they said at the end, they said, okay, let go at the end. And I said, what? And I did not let go at the end, and I didn't even know I could flip like that. But I did a flip, and it hurt, and I realized at that point it's a lot harder to get up now than it used to be from these things. Years ago, my dad and my mom, they brought me fishing. Francis Slocum State Park. Anybody here ever heard of Francis Slocum State Park? We went down. I was probably 5, 6, 7 years old, but I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember. Because it was a fishing training thing for kids. And every kid got a fishing pole, and they said, here's your fishing pole. And paired everybody with an instructor, and my instructor comes over and he says, okay, Eric, here's the fishing pole. I said, thank you. He said, here's how you use it. You're going to click your finger on the button right there. Y'all, did I lose anybody yet? You're going to click your finger on the button right there. You're going to take it and you're going to cast it backwards like this, and then you're going to go forward and let go of the button. Does that make sense? I said, yes. And so I get my finger and I put it on the button. And everybody else is doing the same thing. Now, when they do it, they go back, they hold the button, they go back like this. They go forward. When they let go, it makes out this, and then the thing lands in the water. Really cool. I got the hook. I got the little worm dude on there. I got a bobber, and I got the button. And I go like this, and I hit the button, and I move it back like this, and I throw it forward. Except mine's stuck. So I pull on it. And I pull on it. But instead of hearing, whoo, mine's just going, Eric, stop. Stop. Stop pulling. And I finally turn around to see my instructor has a hook in his face. Now that's his problem. I don't know why he did that. But anyway, he's got a hook in his face, and I'm pulling on the hook that's in his face. Now that's what I call fishing for men right there, folks. And I was doing it when I was 5. What were you doing when you were 5? Anyway, so that was my first experience with fishing here. I want to talk about the apostles for a minute. The apostles are here. They're doing, you see in Luke, in Luke's gospel, that Jesus comes by and he does the miracle. He brings all the fish into the boats. They have 2 boats full of fish. They have broken nets. And for the example of my sermon here, I do have some nets. So we're going to put these nets right here. And if you don't behave, I don't know. He comes by. They fill the ships with nets. And then afterward, he says to the men, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And the scripture goes on to say, they left their nets and followed him. They left their nets and followed him. I want to preach to you this evening. What's your net worth? You like that, Brother Joe? What's your net worth? Let me define the net for a moment here. They forsook their nets and they followed him. These are not hobby fishermen. These are not fellows that are just taking up a new hobby to see whether it works or whether it doesn't work, whether it's fun or whether it's not fun. This is their livelihood. They forsook their livelihood. The men forsook their comfort. They forsook their stability. They took away their opportunity to make money. They took away their job, their family business, their heritage. They forsook their family. They forsook their plans. The moment they dropped the nets on the dock and they said, we're done with this, from now on we follow Jesus, They left all that behind. Their ambitions, their hopes, what they wanted to do, what they wanted in life. They forsook their thoughts of a decent retirement. They forsook it all for Jesus. Let me spell it out here for you. What you and I do is we take a blueprint of our lives. We decide what we want to do with our lives. We'll sit down from the time we're a kid. When I was a kid, I said, I'm going to be a train engineer. Then a little while after that, I said, no, I'm going to be a chef. I'm going to make really good chicken noodle soup, you know, because that's what chefs do. They just make really good soup. Then a little while later, I said, I'm going to be a police officer, and I'll have you know, I have the body now for it. I've had enough donuts. And all through my teen years into my adult years, I was going to be a police officer. When I got married, I applied to Lackawanna College. I was accepted for their Act 120 program. I was going to go over there. They sent me the paperwork, said I'd have to go on Sundays. I said, forget it. Forget it. I'm not going to be a cop then. Pastor came to my house when I was 18. We lived up in Banger Heights here. My wife and I, our first apartment, Banger Heights. Pastor came in. He sat at our little glass table in our little tiny kitchen. And he said, what do you feel like you're going to do? What kind of career do you think you should go after? What kind of things should you pursue here? And I said, well, I kind of want to be in the ministry. And he smiled. He said, let's be real. What are you going to do? He said, let's get you a truck driving license. And you know what I did? I went and I got me a truck driving license. I'll have you know, I have not driven a truck since 2010 was the last time I drove a tractor trailer, and that was in school, just to pass the test. We get our blueprint together. We know where we want to live. We know how many kids we want, what kind of house we want, what kind of yard we want, what kind of cars we're going to drive. We get it all together and we say, and I'm going to get it all with this job right here. This is going to be my life. Let me tell you what the apostles did. They took their blueprints and they handed it to Jesus. My plans, my ambitions, my goals, my dreams, my aspirations, the things I want to do, the things that make me happy, Lord, it's for you. You know what the apostles did? They took the captain's hat off of their lives and said, Jesus, you wear the hat. You wear the hat. Let me ask you a question. What's your net worth? What's your net worth? The net is your desires for this life. The net is what holds you to this world. The net is that American dream, the two-car garage, the white picket fence, the dog in the yard, and all the other stuff that goes into that picture. The net is your safety. Can I tell you, these guys had just seen firsthand what their nets were capable of. They had just seen the biggest haul they've ever had in their life. It's enough to tempt any Christian to say, that's it, I'm done with the ministry, I'm going after this. They just filled up 2 boatloads of fish with those very nets. And Jesus says, I want you to leave all that and follow me. Can you imagine the dollar symbols going on in their heads? Can you imagine as they stand there and they start calculating what they can and can't do, and yet the Bible says immediately they left their nets. Why? Because if you weigh it out, folks, there's a better life. If I'm dreaming, don't wake me. Just let me dream on, for this is the best way of living that I've ever known. You know, some get into the ministry for a while till it gets hard. You have some success. You have people down the aisle. You have people baptized. You're like, woo, I could do this all my whole life. Then you get somebody that calls you a name. Then you get somebody that makes an accusation against you. Then you get somebody who doesn't appreciate the great works that we're out doing. You realize we're supposed to be in hell? You realize everything you got, you deserved? You realize that? But what we do is we get all caught up in it and we say, oh, I guess the ministry's not for me. Let me go and do something else. These fellas left their nets to follow Jesus. Can I tell you something? God called Abraham. He said, Abraham, I want you to leave your father, and I want you to leave your father's household, and I want you to go. I'm going to give you a nation. I'm going to give you more than the sands of the sea in number. You just go and leave them behind and go over here. God got a hold of Moses. Moses could have been the king someday. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Can I tell you something, folks? Abraham forsook the net. Can I tell you something, folks? Moses forsook the net. Can I tell you something, folks? When it came Ruth's turn, Ruth just lost her husband. All she knew was Moab. All she knew was the world. All she knew was God's washpot. It's all she had growing up. It's all she ever knew. And then this lady comes along named Naomi. She says, I'm going to the people of God. And Ruth is faced with an opportunity. Do I follow or do I stay with what I'm comfortable with? And Ruth goes to Bethlehem. Esther. Not her desires. God's plan. Esther said, if I die, I die. And that's a woman. Would to God some men would have that kind of backbone. Oh, we go soul winning, and we knock on a door. Somebody says, get out of here. You're not allowed to soul in here. And we tuck our tail between our legs and say, well, I ain't soul winning ever again. You imagine if some Christians got a hold of a cause. You imagine if we got a hold of this and we said, if I die, I die. Go ahead. I'm going to give the gospel here. I'm going to give it there. I'm going to give it on a tree. I'm going to give it to a bee. I do not like green eggs and ham. There's doctrine in that book, I'm sure of it. One day Elisha's doing his job. Just a boy, just a young man. Out in the field doing his farm work, dealing with the animals. The man of God walks by. He takes his own mantle off of himself and he puts it on the back of Elisha. Now, Elisha knew what that meant. Elisha knew that means he's going to be a preacher. He knew what the call was. And he said to Elijah, let me go say goodbye to my dad. I'll be right there. And Elijah and Elisha forsook the nets to follow Jesus. The Apostle Paul was knocked down. He was blinded. He gets up off of his knees and he says, what will you have me do, Lord? When's the last time you said, what will you have? Now, we're afraid of it. Because we're scared God might tell us what he wants us to do, and it's not in our blueprint. What will you have me to do, Lord? The apostles left their nets and followed Jesus. Let me ask you this. Left their nets for what? For fame? Left their nets for riches? Left their nets for popularity. What happened to the men that forsook the net? They were mocked, lied about, spit on, attacked. Nothing worse than Jesus got. The apostles were all killed except John, and Paul was beheaded. You say, what's the price of forsaking the net? You're looking at it backwards. I say, what's your net worth? Because this life is 1,000 times better. Some of y'all say amen. I feel all alone up here. We're going to have a good time. I'm just getting started. My wife wrote me this sermon. She does a great job. That was a joke. That was a joke. It was my daughter Lily. And I want you to think for a moment. God comes to Abraham. God says, Abraham, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees. I want you to leave your father's home. I want you to leave your father and your family behind. And I want you to go to a place that you've never been before. To do a thing nobody's ever done. And to start a family that I promise you. Imagine instead Abraham says, pick someone else, God. My dad's got a decent business here. He makes little statues. He does a good work. I think I'll just stay here. You never hear from Abraham again. Moses retires in the wilderness. Comes across one day a burning bush. It stops and looks at it and says, ah, no, not me. And runs back home. And you never hear the name of Moses again. Imagine with me for a moment. Ruth stays in Moab and remarries. She fades off the scene into history, into obscurity. Esther stays quiet. God raises up somebody else to deliver the Israelites. There's Elisha. Elijah, the man of God, comes by. Elisha's out in the field doing his thing, dealing with the animals. Here comes the man of God, the old, respected, wise man of God. He takes his mantle off his back. He throws that onto Elisha's back. Can I help you, sir? Oh, no, 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 no. Don't you put the mantle on me. I'm busy. I got my plans. I got my work. I got my goals. I got my ambitions. I've got my dreams. And Elijah goes and picks somebody else. Paul the apostle gets up off the ground. Instead of, what will you have me to do, Lord? He says, why'd you do this to me, Lord? And goes off into obscurity. Jesus says to the man, they've just seen the miracle. The boats were filled of fishes. Jesus says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Imagine for a moment, Peter looks him square in the face and says, thanks for the fish, man, but no thanks. Imagine for a moment, Peter goes and grabs his nets, gives an eye to the other guys, Andrew, James, and John standing by. Come on, fellas, the fish ain't going to catch themselves. Let's go. They climb back into the boat. What I'm defining to you right now is happening every day in our churches in America. How many times I've heard young men say, I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to be an evangelist. I don't know how many people I know, they say, I'm called to full-time service, but you won't do part-time service. Huh? Mom, folks, help me out here. We're not having preacher karaoke night. I'm not here for novelty. I'm here for results, and I'm going to preach for results. You hear me? You don't tell me you're called the full-time ministry if you won't even do part-time ministry. You're going to tell me you're going to make a life out of serving God when you won't serve Him in your spare time. I'm not impressed, and God's not impressed. What's your net worth? What's your net? Net's plural. Worth. I want to give you tonight, otherwise we'll be here all night, I'll preach forever, three reasons why I forsook the net. Three reasons why I forsook the net. Number one, there's a cause. there's a cause. 1 Samuel 17:29, our friend David says, is there not a cause? Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Can I say it again? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Jesus bought you. And then we go back and we say, oh, thanks, Lord. Thanks for the new life. Oh, I feel great. See you in heaven. Over and over again. Can I tell you something, folks? There's nothing greater than serving the Lord. There's nothing better than that tired feeling where you're kind of like annoyed and sick at the same time. And you know it's because of the ministry, and then your body says, let's do it again. And nothing better than that. Miss Diane is walking with a cane because of the ministry. I'm telling you, that's where it happens, folks. You come and stand here for a while. You come and what they say about that Revival Baptist thing? Mary had a little lamb, grew up to be a sheep. He joined Revival Baptist Church and Pastor shot him. No, he died. Hey, if you work for Pastor, you would know, Brother Jesse. He died from lack of sleep. Listen to me. Some of you, you're going on no sleep because you were in VBS the past 3 days. Now where's Jose? He's probably down with the kids. Let's keep him there. Let's preach till 8:40. Listen to me. I forsook the net because there's a cause. There's something bigger than us. What is our purpose? Our purpose, we're left here for the Great Commission. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with thee alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You imagine what our creed would be? No, I'm not talking about what you say out loud in church and we all amen. I'm talking about your private little blueprint at home. What your purpose is. I say I left the net because there's a cause. And some folks are trying to get first class seats on the Titanic and we've already hit the iceberg. Can I tell you something, folks? We're not here to make money. Now, if you don't want to get rid of your money, I'll take it. If it's a hindrance to you and it's bothering you, I'll take it off your hands. And Matthew, he'll take some too. Let me tell you something, folks. And Bobby, he'll take some too. If that money is being a hindrance to you, you just lay it right on the altar here. We'll shut off the lights afterward, and who knows what happens to it after. Proverbs 23:4-5, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Luke 12:15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food, you guys have food? Give me some. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. It's the Trump economy. Who cares? Now's the time to invest. I'm investing in the kingdom. You folks stop and realize it's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. Give your life to what you want to give it to. And I say, I left the nets because there's a cause. I left the nets because there's a cause. Let me give you a little story about a good friend of mine, Pastor Bloom. Pastor came to Scranton because there's a cause. Pastor left the nets because there's a cause. You realize he could have been rich in his father-in-law's business. Right now, 2025, if he had stayed and worked, he'd have a few million dollars. He'd be on a beach somewhere in Florida, relaxing, enjoying his life, enjoying his kids, enjoying his grandkids. You say, why did he make such a dumb choice? Ho, ho, ho. That's the problem, folks. You would make the dumb choice, and he didn't. Pastor Bloom had a cause. He left Florida for dirty Scranton. No beach, no money. The politics are bad. The city officials are corrupt. Let's just look at Florida, man. Ron DeSantis. Do I need to say anything else? I will. Alligator Alcatraz. August 1st, they had Hulk Hogan Day. What the heck do we have here in Pennsylvania? Nothing. Scranton, we have Pothole Day. It's every darn day. Good night. I don't know of a conspiracy, but I bet there is. I'll bet that Scranton and these guys that give you new tires, they're all working together. It's got to be. Short summers, harsh winters. He had two major church splits. Huh? He should have stayed and made money. I'll see you at the judgment. Huge personal attack in 2017. There's a cause. What's your net worth? We'll lighten up a little bit. Grandpa earned a fortune, and he was disgusted with his children's spending. He demanded that his grandson go to public school to learn how to be normal. On the first day, Grandpa drives the boy to school. Remember, Henry, if anyone asks about the family, tell them we're poor. Henry gets to school. The teacher asks all the children to get up and introduce themselves. My name is Henry. My mother is poor. My father is poor. My whole family is poor. Even our butler and our maids are poor. I got married when I was 18. Miss Alicia was 17. I don't recommend that, by the way. We came out great, but we had real fist fights sometimes. Like good ones. Like the kind you have to pay pay-per-view for. I mean, it's good stuff. Just in case there's any teenagers listening and say, I'd like to get married. Wait a few years. You'll be all right. 2008, we got married. And she don't want me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to brag on her for a minute. If you were to go and research, and you can, there's a website. You could look at newspapers. You could look at all the old newspapers. You could prove me every year, from elementary school through middle school through high school, Alicia had high honors in every class. High honors. Her entire life, she wanted to be a surgeon. When I met her, she was taking summer classes at the University of Scranton as she was building her way toward her surgeon career. Her mom was a registered nurse, I think RN, BSN, already in the medical field. Alicia was going to go to that little college that they built a few years back over by Cooper's. That was her plan. You say, do you regret the plan? I asked her that. I say, do you regret throwing all that away to be in the ministry? She said, absolutely. No, I'm just kidding. Just got to wake you up a little bit. Folks, can I tell you, there's nothing better. There's nothing better. Take your cute little blueprint. I promise God's better. I promise His blueprint for your life is better than yours. I promise His plan is better than the one you came up with. You get your little Play-Doh and you squish the little thing and say, hey, mommy, look. And God hands over a masterpiece and says, or you could have this. We take the Play-Doh and run with it and say, yeah, I made this one. Vacation Bible School. Talking about a cause here. Vacation Bible School, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. I was driving the bus. Watch this. Miss Alicia got in the van, our van, which has two headlights out now. Got in our van and drove the half hour up to Wilkes-Barre. You say, why? Because there's a cause. Bring these kids down to church. So watch this. Half hour to Wilkes-Barre. Get all the kids. Half hour back. Half hour plus a half hour equals 1 hour. Well, who's dropping them off? There's 2 hours. 2 hours Thursday. 2 hours Friday. 2 hours Saturday in Wilkes-Barre. You say, why? Because there's a cause. One night I was driving my bus, and she texted me, and she said, I have to go to Sherman Hills. You say, you text while driving? No, she does. I behave. But she texted me. She said, I have to go to Sherman Hills. Now, if you don't know what Sherman Hills is, watch the news. Not the CNN news. That ain't real. But in our area, between Wilkes-Barre and Scranton, basically the most dangerous place is Sherman Hills. It's a little apartment complex. Brother Steve and I tried to go there. We were going to hand out flyers up there, and the cops, because they had cops on duty all the time, the cops said, not here. And that was it. Well, she texts me, and she says she's going to Sherman Hills, and I text her back. I say, why? Why are you going? And she said, there's a cause. No, she didn't. She said, I got to drop off this girl at her grandma's house. And I, you know, obviously I wanted to be careful. But let me tell you something, folks. That might be the most dangerous place in Wilkes-Barre, but Miss Alicia's the most dangerous woman in Scranton. And homegirl had a knife. And she's driving in there. She's got a literal knife sitting next to her. You say, why don't she carry a gun? I think she likes blood a little too much. Guns are too easy. So she's going in there just thinking, go ahead, somebody mess with me. And she's going to drop off that little girl. She's got the knife right here in the cup holder. The little change holder, the little garbage holder. Okay, for you people who don't have kids, that's a garbage holder, okay? Put little wrappers and things in there. Why are you going to Sherman Hills? Because there's something bigger than us. There's a cause. There's a cause. Pastor came here because there's a cause. We're all here because of Pastor's cause. When I lived in Wilkes-Barre, 2001, nobody came to my door and invited me to church. Nobody came by and said, we have a van or a bus. Would you like to come to church? Nobody. A couple weeks ago, we went down to National Sword of the Lord Conference. We had a good time. My wife's sister came with us. Her husband came. Their kid came. Good night. I want to trade it for all the money you could give me. Listen to me. Full-time ministry. Being there with my wife. Being there with my kids, who, by the way, are working in the ministry. I tell you where we were 20 years ago? The absolute trash of the earth. The gum on the bottom of your shoe. Words I shouldn't say in church. We had unlimited, unfiltered access to everything the world has to offer. And my bus captain came and told me about Jesus. And Alicia's bus captain came and told that family about Jesus. so we could be serving the Lord. And watching my kids serving the Lord. Watching my girls serving the Lord. My sister's down in Florida serving the Lord. Her sister's up in Yankeeville, New Hampshire, serving the Lord. You got your plans. I got my plans. Let me tell you about my plans. My friend Bobby Hiller, you know Bobby Hiller. He's right now an assistant pastor where he's at in Connecticut. Colton, my brother-in-law, is an assistant pastor in New Hampshire. My sister, she's too ugly, but she'd like to marry a preacher eventually. So, anyway, pray for her. Some of you know her and you're like, no, she's beautiful, Eric. No, I got all the beauty. She just got the leftovers. Anyway, I'll tell you my plan. Oh, one of these days. One of these days. My friend Bobby Hiller is going to be pastoring. I'm going to go visit his place and preach in his church. He's going to come down to my church and preach for me one Sunday. My brother-in-law is going to come preach. My son's going to come preach. Or we could just make money. I promise you, I wouldn't trade it for anything you could give me. God took the trash of the earth and he made a treasure out of it. And I just haven't gotten over it. And some of your problem is you have gotten over it. I said, why? Why did I give up the net? Because there's a cause. Number one, you could keep your blueprints. I'll take God's blueprint. Number two, why did I give up the net? Because there's a crown. There's a crown. Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. Can I say something, folks? VBS was a bad influence on me. Had this whole thing decorated like the beach and the lighthouse and the little sandcastle over here and all that junk, and I said to my wife, let's go to the beach. I don't know if y'all were thinking like that, but between the beach music and everything else and pastor wearing the Hawaiian shirt, I'm like, let's sneak away to the beach. So we were putting together some plans to take one final trip before school to go to a beach. The lessons in VBS had to do with a beach house, like a house on the beach that you rent, and I'm like, let's rent a house on the beach just for a couple days. Well, she got to looking. She came across a mansion that you could rent, what was it, $2,500 a night? Something more than that? Oh, $4,500 a night. $4,500 a night for this mansion. We ain't doing it. Y'all looking at me like, what a waste of money. I agree. Listen, y'all ever heard of old money? Some people, they call them old money. Some people are new money. We're no money. We ain't doing that. But we saw that mansion, and she showed me the picture. She's like, yeah, it's pretty nice. It's beautiful. I said, you should see mine in heaven. That was a Trump dance. Those are okay. You should see mine in heaven. Listen, I ain't working for this stuff down here. I'm working for heaven. You got this much life. This is it. What is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a while and fadeth away. You got this much life, and then eternity. I'm working for eternity, folks. Why? Because there's a call. There's a crown, we said. There's a cause. Brother Steve, what's that fella say, Rich Wilkerson? That WD, is that it? Going to get my WD, my well done. Going to get my WD. That's what I'm working for. It will be worth it all. while I put Bobby to sleep. When we see Jesus. I told you I wouldn't be sweet, but I was lying. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. You know how many people told me I can't sing? And I do it anyway. What's your excuse? We're going to have a great time. Wait till I get to heaven. I'm going to sing up there too, and the Lord's going to like it. We said, why I forsook the net. Number one, there's a cause. Number two, there's a crown. Number three, there's a call. There's a call. Matthew 4:19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You could hear the Macedonian call. They said, come over into Macedonia and help us. Let me ask you a question. Do you hear the call? Come over into Scranton and help us. Come over into Wilkes-Barre and help us. Come over into Oliphant and help us. Come over into Pittston and help us. Come over into Tunkhannock. And help us. Come over into Moscow. And help us. Come to Valley View Terrace. And help us. Come to Skyview. And help us. Come to Walsh Plaza. And help us. Jeff Fugate was traveling with a fella. Jeff Fugate's known for the bus ministry. Very big on the bus ministry. He was going around with this man. He was showing him around the city. And he said, so Brother Fugate, when should I start a bus ministry? Should I wait, save up some money? Should we get a bus? What should we do first? When should I start a bus ministry? Brother Fugate said, pull over here by the park. They pulled over by the park. He said, when could those kids hear the gospel? When's it okay for that one to go to hell? Y'all too hyper-Calvinist. Oh, you don't say you are. We cross all the right dots and all the right T's and all that stuff, and we say, oh, the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man, but some other man's responsibility, you don't do it. You could tell me all the 5 points of Tulip, but you won't do nothing. Do you hear the call? Do you hear the call? Of the sinner. You hear the call of the young lady that's getting beat right now by her boyfriend and nobody could help her. Nobody's going to bring them the gospel because that's a mean part of town. I don't want to go there. You hear the call of the kid that watches it, sees it every night, wishes somebody was up there that loved him, considers suicide because it sounds better than this junk. You hear the call? Of the unsaved. Jesus called to the apostles, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Can I give you tonight? There's a call to service. There's a call to surrender. A call to give it all. A call to lay down your plans. Put aside your goals. Put the nets aside. And follow Jesus. Listen, folks, if I wasn't called to be a preacher, I'd be at this altar saying, God, why can't I be a preacher? Why can't I do it too? If God said, no, you're not called to be a preacher, I don't want you, I'd say, God, could I do something else? Let me go to college, I'll learn music. I'll go be a music director somewhere. Let me go do something. I want to serve you. Oh, but we got our plans. I'll serve God on the side as I make money. God, where do you see my tithes? As though God's broke. He don't need your tithes. He just needs a few good bucks. No. Few good men we sang. Oh, it's easy to sing it. God puts his finger on you and you say, not me, God, I meant him. There's a call. There's a call. I put aside my goals, my future, my wants, my plans, because there's a call. Folks, I have dreams like you got dreams. Mine are just better. You say, what do you want to do with your life? I want a double-wide trailer. You never heard that before. I want a double-wide trailer on redneck land where I could sit on my rocking chair with a shotgun over here and a banjo on my lap and no teeth. I'm sorry, Alicia. It's going to happen. And just bark at everybody that comes by and say, get out of here. But God wants me in Scranton. I'd love to go anywhere else. I would, I promise you. North Carolina, South Carolina, Maryland, Texas. Notice they're all down south. I'd go to Maine if God wanted me to, I guess. I guess they got lighthouses and stuff up there. That'd be cool. There's a call. There's a call, folks. Elijah came over to Elisha. He didn't say nothing to him. He just took that mantle and put it on his back. And you know what Elisha did? Listen now. He went and got his oxen and boiled them. What do you think that signifies? I ain't going back. I'm a preacher. From here on, my goals, my dreams, my aspirations, they're gone. And I got nothing to go back to. Agathocles went to Carthage in North Africa. Went there with his men to invade the Carthaginians and take over the land. And as the men got off the boats, he ordered the boats to be burned and said, there's nothing but forward, men. We win or we die. There's a call tonight for a young man. There's a call tonight for a young lady. There's a call tonight for whosoever to take your plans, your goals, your blueprint, your net, leave it at the altar. Say, God, what do you got for me? And then burn the bridges behind you. Burn up the boats as you get off. Boil up the oxen. No turning back. What's your net worth? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder tonight, while nobody's looking around,